A rebuttal. I have some advice for our brother Cody. I think I picked up a trait, a tendency, a string of events that he needs to be careful of, and that's dessert. This morning we found out that Little Debbie's are a real temptation for our brother. And if I don't remember exactly when it was, I don't think it was his last sermon, but recently we had a sermon where he confessed that chocolate ice cream was a concern for him. And so, for what it's worth, Cody, be careful of the dessert. I did really appreciate the sermon this morning. It's very real. It's what we have to deal with on a continual basis. My sermon wasn't built around his sermon, but I think there is a tie to what he gave and what I will preach about this afternoon. I will try to keep it short. I got advice. Keep it short. Keep it sweet. Keep us awake. You've got a much harder job than I have. I can probably stay awake this time. But we're coming towards the end of a year, and I am one that likes to set New Year's resolutions. I break them, but it's my way of telling myself I have not arrived. I am not where I need to be. I need to improve. There's something in my life that is deficient. And so as I look at the end of the year, I considered several New Year's resolutions, but I've settled on one, and I've entitled my sermon after that New Year's resolution. I think in my life, there is a need to improve my prayer life. And when we consider this morning's sermon on temperance, on self-control, there is a cheat, a helper, and that is prayer. Christ told Peter, he said, I wanted him to go and pray, that he'd enter not into temptation, because Satan desires to sift us as wheat. There is always this tool that Satan has, that he's using our self-control and our temperance as a challenge. And yet Christ said, pray to his disciples as they entered that night of trial when he was crucified. So there is a help. It's not a cheat, but it's because we are so weak, but he is so strong, and he can take us through those trials, those temptations, whether it be chocolate ice cream or Little Debbie's, it doesn't make any difference. He is stronger than those. I have entitled my sermon, A Prayer List. We all know the importance of prayer. We all know the power of prayer. We all know what God wants us to do on prayer. But I want to focus on, what am I praying for? Am I praying properly? Or am I consuming the lusts of the flesh that I'm praying for to consume it upon my own self? There's a couple of scriptures that I would like to go into before I start my list. One is Helaman 2, verse 31. This takes place during the reign of the judges. It's about halfway through the reign of the judges. Things have been going really good for a couple of years amongst in the church, but now a little pride has entered in. A little persecution has started inside the church, and yet there are some faithful people, and this is referring to the faithful ones. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. That is the goal of all of us, is to have ourselves purified and sanctified so that we can have eternal life. And these people did it how? Through fasting and praying oft. And they, because of that connection that they had with God, that conversation, they became stronger and stronger in humility. That seems to be a contradiction in terms, but I understand what he's conveying there. And they waxed firmer and firmer in their faith. Now I'm going to go to the New Testament. This was in our bulletin just a couple of weeks ago, and that's why it's here, is because our pastor put this on the bulletin, and I realized I hadn't read this scripture all the way through and tied it together like it should be. It's Moroni 6, verse 4. I'm beginning at verse 4, and we'll read verse 5 as well. And after they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the church of Christ. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God to keep them in the right way. And that's where I quit. That's what I hadn't memorized, is that their names were taken that they might be nourished in the good word of God to keep them in the right way. But he goes on. To keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merit as the author and finisher of their faith. We attend church here not just to hear the word preached. We attend church to be encouraged to pray, that we might be kept watchful, because Satan is out there desiring to sift us as wheat, and we have to be watchful. Excuse me, I'll provide towels next time. But we are coming to this body to be encouraged and supported in our prayers to keep us relying upon Christ. We cannot rely on our own ability to have self-control. We all fail at that. We try, but we can't do it on our own. And so repentance is offered. Forgiveness is offered. But there is a strength and a power that comes through prayer that can also help us to be able to overcome our weakness, to whether it's Little Debbie's or chocolate ice cream, I don't care which, we can overcome. So now I want to read what my purpose here today is, to read some prayers that are recorded in the Bible and the Book of Mormon and make a list off of those prayers of what those people prayed for. And so this is my prayer list. We'll start with Ephesians. I did this once a long time ago using the Lord's Prayer. And in that, I took and counted the words in the Lord's Prayer. And then I counted the number of words that were given in worship, and the number of words that were given in requesting forgiveness and repentance, and the number of words that were given for the temporal needs of our life. And I don't remember what the percentages were, but it was heavily on devotion to God and then requesting spiritual blessings. A little bit on the temporal needs of the man that's asking the prayer. Today I want to use other people's prayers. The Lord's Prayer is very generalized. It was a teaching tool. These are men in the trenches who are facing problems and issues in life, and these are their prayers that they are offering. And so I wanted to make a list of what they request. This is Paul when he finds out that the Ephesians have accepted Christ. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. And I'm in Ephesians 1, verse 15, and now verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I want to go back here. So on my list, cease not to give thanks for you. We are blessed to have a body of believers. They are a support group. They are a help. They are an encouragement. And we need to use each other to help us get through this struggle of having self-control and temperance in all things. So don't neglect to be thankful for each of us that are here struggling in this battle. Verse 17, he prays that they might have the spirit of wisdom. That is a good understanding through the word of God of Jesus Christ and how that relates to the world that I'm walking in. He's asking for the spirit of revelation, that God would reveal himself to them. They're new members. They're beginning their walk. And he's praying that that Christ might be revealed to them. Not necessarily what's going to come down the road in the future, but that they might understand, that they might know God, that they might know his son, Jesus Christ. We will spend eternity knowing and learning about this God. He is so incredible that we can't conceive of what he is. And yet, part of our journey here in this life and in our journey in the hereafter is to know God. This is eternal life, that you may know him. And then he prays that their eyes might be enlightened. He's asking for enlightenment, that they might see the truth, understand what the will of God is in their life, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. I'll read on here. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So that is this incredible God who we worship and that we desire to know and to understand and be enlightened in and have him reveal himself to us. So there's eight things there: to be thankful for the saints, to have wisdom, revelation, knowledge of God, enlightenment, to know the hope of his calling. I didn't talk about that, but we each have a calling, not just the ministry. Every one of you has a calling. It may be a mother who has two children, who lives on a cul-de-sac and is the neighbor to a dozen people, who goes to work every day and works with five or six other people. You have a calling to them, and there is a hope in that. You're given a task to share the knowledge of Jesus Christ to those people, whoever it is. Some of us can talk, some of us can't. Some of us can show by example. Some of us struggle with that. But we each have a talent, a calling, and we need to have a hope in that. And then also, 7, to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. We each receive an inheritance from God when we join the church. When that Holy Spirit comes upon us, there are gifts that are given. I don't know what yours is. In fact, I struggle to know mine. But we need to understand the glory of this inheritance that Jesus gives us, and we need to increase and to work on our talents, and then to know the greatness of his power. I'd like now to go to a prayer that Peter gave. This is shortly after he and John had come into the temple, and there was a lame man who was lame from birth, and he was, it seems like, maybe 40 years older approximately, and they heal him and tell him to rise and take up his bed and walk. They get called, they did this on a Sabbath day. They get called before the Sanhedrin and the judges of the powers of B, and are condemned and told and threatened not to ever preach in the name of Jesus again. And they say, who should we follow, you or God? We can only do but what God tells us to do. And so they are threatened, and then they're released. And they go back to their community of believers and their support group. And Peter gives this prayer. It's found in Acts 4, verse 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed and placed this, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So he prayed for it, and immediately they were answered with the shaking of the earth, but also shaken with the ability, blessed with this immediate gift to be able to speak boldly. Peter knew what the cost was. They had just been released from a night in prison for having spoken boldly. And he comes out, and he knows that there's a great risk that he's going to have to be persecuted by speaking boldly, and yet he's asking essentially for faith, that he might rely upon God to protect him and go on out and speak boldly in the name of Jesus. I don't know how often you get down on your knees and pray for a trial, for a temptation, that you might be made persecuted because of Jesus. It's not my tendency. But Peter knew what it was before him. It eventually cost him his life. But he was willing to get on his knees and ask to be able to speak boldly, knowing the price. So on my list, do I want to pray for this? To speak boldly? It's on my list. And then he asked for a witness. The world knew on that day that Peter went and John went into the temple, they knew that there was something different, because a man who had been lame for his whole life was healed and was immediately able to stand and take up his bed and walk. And Peter seen that. And 3,000 souls were saved that day or baptized that day. And Peter is now asking for that witness to be done over and over again, 12 disciples. One of them was Judas, who took his own life. And the other 11 then went out, and within just a few short years, they didn't convert the whole known world, but they at least went out and proclaimed Jesus Christ to the whole known world. And thousands and thousands and thousands were converted. We have a whole church, a whole lot more than 11. But there is ever many, as many that need to have the gospel preached to them. And they're on your cul-de-sac. They're on my cul-de-sac. They come into my office. Have I prayed to be able to speak boldly to them and ask that signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus, that they might see and know that there is something that they don't have? Paul wrote to the Colossians. In the Colossians 1:9, he offers a prayer. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increased in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So on my prayer list, a knowledge of his will, to walk worthy of pleasing the Lord, being fruitful in every good work, increase in the knowledge of God. And that may be a duplicate. I didn't go back through here and look at that, but that's okay. Strengthened with all might in his power. We have to acknowledge and see our own weakness, but know that that weakness is way overcome by his power. Patient and long-suffering with joyfulness. Romans, again, Paul is our example here. Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, that for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So essentially he's saying, please pray for me. And this is the prayer I want you to offer, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He has a task to go and preach the word of God to people that are hostile. And he is concerned that he will be destroyed. And so he's asking the people for that God deliver him from these people that are, do not believe. And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. And now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So on my prayer list, deliverance from the unbeliever, protection. He also asks that they pray that he might be successful in his mission to those. And we frequently pray for our missionaries who go out and are in harm's way, and also that their efforts might be successful. But he also asked for revival, that all might be refreshed, himself and those that he's talking with. And also, may God's peace be upon you. We can become warriors awful easy. Things don't look real good out there in the world. And we know that the future holds. We know the end is joyful for those who are righteous. But there's that in between that it's going to be a struggle. We can let that worry us and hold us down. But Paul is saying that he wants peace to be upon all of them. There is a peace that can only come from God, and we can only get it if we ask for it, and we ask in prayer. My final one, this is in Nephi, the second Nephi, 15th chapter and the 15th verse. And I pray the Father in the name of Christ that many of us, if not all, may be saved in his kingdom at that great and last day. That is the goal. That is what this life is all about, is that we might be saved in the kingdom at that great and last day. Nephi was in my phase of life, I think. He had spent a lot of his life and had witnessed God's good, glorious power. But he also had an attitude of prayer. On my list, I have 21 things. I can't remember 21 things. My memory's short. I might remember five. And so I want to leave you today, not with my prayer list, but with an attitude that Nephi had. Because he had some mullings of his mind that he wrote down for us that we can latch on to. It was an attitude of prayer that he left us. And I'm going to leave with you today. It is found in 2 Nephi, the third chapter. I'm going to begin with the 30th verse. This is an attitude. It's an understanding of who I am and who our God is. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord, in shewing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through the waters of the great deep. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded mine enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the nighttime. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice hath sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away unto exceeding high mountains. And my eyes have beheld the great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore, I was bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow and my flesh waste away and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way into temptation that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemies? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hand of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me with the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy? O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, that maketh flesh his arms. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, O God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and my everlasting God. Amen. That attitude, that I know that I will but fail if I rely upon my own flesh, that of me there is nothing good, but that God can take anyone who is willing to give them his heart, and he can make something glorious, something good, something powerful. He can use that to turn souls to him if I will yield my heart to my God. I thank you.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that message. I'm Kate Manon.